This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I understand most of the follow-up comments will be, has Nico tried to trade her already? Is he having secret meetings with reporters where he doesn't want them recorded or anything like that to try to trade Paige Bueckers? I don't know. I would think not, seeing as how they're part of two different organizations. But I understand people have been burned this year. But go ahead and give me cut number one. Do you think, because people are clearly upset with the Mavericks, you're looking for your basketball fix in the Metroplex. You just got potentially, we hope, a generational player in Paige Bueckers. Could this turn the tide for the Wings?
With the first pick in the 2025 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Paige Bueckers, University of Connecticut.
Now, we did a preemptive wanker of the weekend yesterday. I'm going to have to change that name. Going to have to change that name for
sure. No, the name's great. It's just the
spacing,
pauses.
Yes, yeah.
Pausing.
To go after anybody who might have tried to prevent this from happening. If they did, they were not successful. Paige Bueckers drafted by the Wings, and here she comes. And the Wings have already built up quite a bit of steam, as has the league in general, per where they are. Now, I get it. If your counter argument's going to be it's been 30 years and the league has literally never made a profit, I hear you on that.
I'm interested in that conversation because Unrivaled seems to be getting mentioned a lot right now.
Yeah, she's already going to make more from Unrivaled as she is in her entire rookie deal.
And I saw somebody tweet out and they were like, so you're saying the WNBA can make a profit, it's just run poorly. And I do wonder because it feels like Unrivaled.
I think it can now.
Okay.
I think it can now. I think in years past, it probably could not have.
The when Unrivaled's what, 3-4 years old at this point? Something I don't feel like it's that long. And they it feels like they just went out and got a lot of investors and said, all right, bring the money to us and we're gonna make sure the players get paid. And that's why players are like, well, I can play there and also in the WNBA. And but the WNBA is kind of like it's got the prestige of what I want to win a championship for them. And that does feel like maybe, Kevin, they saw that Unrivaled was getting a lot of love, and that's why they started pumping money into ESPN and pumping money into all these other things to get themselves propped up higher in the eye of the people. Being said, Paige is a very interesting name and a very, very interesting player. If you want to watch good basketball, you can watch her play. She's very good. The hype train of Caitlin Clark, and I think Caitlin Clark plays with a little more pizzazz, because she throws up the giant three-pointers that everybody like gets all caught up in. But I think when you watch Paige play, you're like, I'd love to have a point guard on my team like that. You know, if I'd love to have a point guard that can do the type of things that she does on any team, let alone a WNBA team.
And you think about like the growth of the WNBA or the growth specifically of the Wings, at least in popularity. On the court, they were awful last year. They went 9-31. There's a reason they got the number one pick.
That's
true. Awful, awful, awful.
And they knew it.
Yes, they do. But for the Wings, we talked about it. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, they sold out season tickets in Arlington at College Park Center for the first time in team history. Clearly,
was that because Caitlin Clark was coming through there?
I think that's part of it, but I think the overall popularity of the league has risen.
It got a buzz last year.
Because of that as well. They're building the new arena that's going to be, or restructuring to have the arena in Dallas. But right now, College Park Center holds less than 7,000 people. They moved, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, the what's going to be Bueckers versus Clark game to the American Airlines Center. That's going to sell out.
Yeah.
If you don't like women's basketball, that's okay. And I can see plenty of people on the text who are saying that. But that game is going to be a legitimate 19,500 person sellout.
Who are you going to be rooting for?
I will root for the Dallas Wings.
Because it's in Dallas?
That's right.
So you're not rooting for the player necessarily as much as you are.
I'm rooting for the team. Where I'm from.
Okay.
Look, I get it. I know people want me to root for the Lakers in the playoffs. Not going to happen.
I could never do that.
Never going to happen. If the Mavericks somehow found this weird scenario where they made it to the Lakers in the playoffs, there's no way in hell I would root for the Lakers to beat the Mavericks. And I know people are going to be mad. They're going to be like, you didn't even like Luka. I did. I was the person who told everybody they were going to be happy that the Mavericks drafted him. But I'm not rooting for the Lakers. I can't do it. I won't do it. And I can't do it. Now, give me cut number two. This is how they welcome Paige to the city. Now, obviously, normally, this would have been Luka.
Okay.
That would have welcomed her to the city. But, you know. I don't know if you heard, Corey, the whole...
Kyrie came in here and pushed Luke out.
The whole, the trade and whatnot. Let's go to cut number two. So instead, they have Anthony Davis to welcome her.
What's up, Paige? AD here. From one first round, overall pick to another. I just want to say congratulations. Welcome to Dallas. Can't wait to get you here to support you, come to some games, to watch you do your thing. Congrats again. Enjoy the night.
Now...
I saw Micah did one too this morning for the Cowboys.
Oh, I didn't see that
Twitter. I think it was this morning... I think I really do like that they're trying to prop him up. Like the rest of the group is saying, hey, man, because I almost feel like that was a never happened before kind of thing. I almost feel like that was a never happened before kind of thing.
Okay.
I know it was a little off, but I get it.
Now, this could be the determining factor of how much people like Paige right out of the gate. Give me cut number three. This is Paige after she got drafted.
Before I was asked about Tex-Mex versus barbecue, I was unfamiliar with the term Tex-Mex, so that's my pick. But Dallas, I'm so excited. Just a new city, a new start, a fresh start, and so I'm excited. Let's get it.
So she needs to learn more about Tex-Mex.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we need to introduce her to more Texas barbecue.
Mm-hmm. What's the first Tex-Mex place to send her to in DFW? If you're going to say go to a Tex-Mex place in DFW, what's the first restaurant you're like?
Because
El Phoenix was the fun place back when you were a kid. Because
that might
night
not
enchiladas,
be what I say.
Wednesday night enchilada plate was the best. But,
okay.
Because it was cheap, dude. It was like
$4. I don't think Paige is going to... Well, I was about to say she might not be on a budget. But I guess we did talk about how the contract with Unrivaled was almost necessary because of the low-paying wages of the WNBA for an athlete.
Robert Bell. Tortilla. Lupe Tortilla in Las Colinas.
But
that's the answer.
That is that Dallas Nest like local? Because I know in San Antonio they have a few, and I don't know.
Lupe Tortilla, I think, technically started in Houston, but it's here now and it's good. It's still Texas.
It's so good. What's your favorite? What do you get at a Tex-Mex restaurant?
Man, I need to choose my words very carefully here. I think Tex-Mex restaurants, some of them, are very much like ice cream in terms of they're about the same.
The rice and beans are kind of going to be made the same.
Yeah.
The enchilada is going to either give you the same options.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. I love nachos. Like, I really do.
Go with some standard boring tacos and the double rice. Love the queso.
You say beef tacos with just cheese?
Beef and cheese or chicken and cheese. It's pretty much, it's depressing for a lot of people, but I like it. You can like whatever you like. I'm not telling you what to like.
Mariano's, Papacito's, Mexican Sugar, Blue Goose.
Mariano's is delicious.
Mariano's, that's the inventor of the margarita, they claim.
He had a sick cutter, too.
Yeah. No, that's a different Mariano, that's Rivera.
Gloria's.
Gloria's is fantastic. I enjoy Gloria's.
I've definitely
a lot.
Been at Gloria's a couple of times.
We do it right down here though. Like I think you can just enjoy Tex-Mex around here. So I'm hopeful for her. The fact though that she's like, I don't know what it is, so that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Is a little concerning.
Look, she has to learn. But I'll tell you from a strictly basketball perspective. CBS gave that pick an A+. ESPN gave it a grade of 100. I don't even know if I've ever seen that from a draft pick before. So from a basketball perspective, analysts are loving it. It was a no-brainer. People were hyped up at the Wings draft party, and their GM said it felt like Christmas morning.
And it should. Sure. Like, I mean, next Thursday, whenever the NFL draft is underway, don't we all get that feeling that Kevin Costner got in draft day? Or we just can't? We're so excited.
Do we? Or the Titans are like, I guess, take Cam Ward. I don't know.
That is an interesting question. When you're the number one team and you kind of already know who you're taking, is there as much excitement? And because when was the last time Troy Aikman? We've been number one?
Russell Maryland.
Russell. Wow. So I don't even remember the draft like at that time, Kevin. Yeah. So yeah, like I feel like you get excited unless maybe you're number one team and you're just, we already know. Let's move on. Let's go ahead and get started with the season.
Do you think we'll have a number one pick in the next 5 years?
Nope. We will never be that bad.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we puck around and find out Dallas, Detroit, and in the midst of the Stars' losing streak, what's happened to Casey DeSmith? Next on The Fan.
Pass knocked away at center, and Raymond's got the puck. He's got a break in the right circle. Score! Lucas Raymond with point number 78 on the campaign. 9:49 into the third, and the Red Wings have scored three unanswered goals here to take a 5-3 lead.
Now, the bad news is the Stars lost again.
Is it bad?
The good news is it was an irrelevant game and you're already locked into the playoff series against Colorado. We'll probably talk some more about that tomorrow, and you're installed as the underdog in that. I guess that is not really good. Here's some more bad news. Stop giving Jamie Benn credit for his 400th goal if you're just going to take it away every time. So, Jamie Benn has scored his supposed 400th goal in back-to-back games. Both times, they're like, you know what? I need to go take a closer look at this. And I know that that's just what they do for goals in general. But both times, it has been taken away from him. So he still had sat at 399 after one goal was overturned for goaltender interference. And then I believe this goal was then credited to Liam Bischel.
Okay.
So, yeah, two goal 400s, and he's on 399.
Is it because of his heart? Is that what you're concerned about here, Kevin?
No, I just stopped giving him goals until you're totally positive.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
just be like, hey, it was a goal. Hold on.
We'll go see.
We're going to figure this out.
If it was.
See
okay.
What happens.
Gotcha.
Now, I'm not criticizing his heart or anything like that.
How big of a celebration is 400 for?
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jamie Benn, like in,
I mean, considering his difficulty scoring goals this year, pretty big.
The and for the fans that have been Stars fans for a long time, is that
it? Look, it's tough because it should be, and it's a really cool achievement. But you're also like, this is the by far the worst stretch of hockey that the Stars have had this year, and you could make an argument. I think this is his first 6-game losing streak with the Stars. Pete DeBoer's worst run as head coach. And I'll tell you this right now. I don't think I'm speaking particularly out of turn. They bounce out into the playoffs. You're going to say goodbye to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because they're the time-honored tradition is pointing out that Pete DeBoer does not get you past big games.
Yeah.
Like in the biggest of the big ones, he does not win.
Even though at some point you would need to take a look and be like, hey, how many coaches has Jim Nill hired now?
How many has it been?
I think this might be four.
Okay.
If we're coming up on it. And I realize there were different circumstances for some of them. But at some point, and I like Jim Nill a lot, but if you continue to struggle in the playoffs, I wonder if they'll reflect inward like that and supposed to be like, well, he's obviously one of the best. Oh, really? Because of all the cups?
That's a good question.
With the Stars.
With Gagliardi. Doesn't he seem pretty hands off in all of this? He's like, I got the money, build me a champion. until it's time.
Once the game ends, not all the reporters go to him.
That's a good, that's a positive thing.
That's neat. Hey, don't forget, in about 10 minutes, we'll have Stephen Jones on, though.
We do have, though, the, you believe Jim Nill's built a good team.
I do.
You believe this is a championship team. The players on the ice.
I do.
And you believe that Pete DeBoer is a good coach. He's a good coach.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He's a good coach.
And I don't say...
Track record says that this is where he peters out, though.
Yeah, no, right? No, absolutely. But there's a stretch where you go from being a kind of contender to, no, you're a legitimate contender, it seems, with him. But you're right. And so that's got to be the difficult part as Jim Nill, that you're like, okay, I've finally built this thing that I feel is really good. Is it what I built? Or is it... Because I even made a huge trade for a guy that everybody would have wanted.
Yeah.
Is it what I've built, or do I just still not have the guy that has the strategy to get these guys to the next place? I think the one thing we can all definitely agree on is the Stars get bullied a lot.
Yes.
And that's the mentality that I think is missing. I think they have all these other great qualities, but the ability to be the bullies, to be the ability to be the first punchers, is not something I see from them ever.
Now, I don't know if... I don't know if this is a huge concern, given how you would hope that even in a lengthy playoff run, Ottinger would control most of the way. But Casey DeSmith has been a mess.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
Month. Now, part of the reason is I think they just kept switching him and Ottinger out every other game. But in April...
Was that smart back then?
Yeah, just for rest purposes. Okay. If you're like, I don't really think we're going to challenge Winnipeg. In March, he was fantastic. In April... He has been horrendous. He is 0-3, although I know hockey likes to put it as 0-2-1. That's great. And a goals against average of 4.93 and a save percentage of .857. Both of those are abysmal. I realize it's just three games, and we talked about the life of the backup goalie. I've just been kind of concerned at how bad he has looked in some of these games. And again, it's not all him. You could make the argument that the defense looks bad, the turnovers continue to be a problem, as they were again last night, and all of it goes together. But I've been a little alarmed by the games we've seen him in this month.
Especially whenever, you know, there's no other things there to help you right now. Like, there's nothing, all the things that are in front of you, there's nothing that's going to change that at the moment.
True.
Other than you just have to be better. You might have to, as they say, stand on your head.
Does it matter at all then if they beat Nashville? Like, do you need to win that to be like, hey, we won a game? Or can you go into the playoffs? Can you go into the playoffs on a 7-game losing streak and be like, we could win the cup?
You brought it up, man. You're the one that brought up what they looked like in the bubble.
Yeah, it was crazy. They looked like the worst team in the bubble. Not bad, the worst. And then they made it to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, you brought that up, and I totally forgot about it. I just remember that we were like, holy crap, this team's on a run right now. That's all what I remember. So this little stretch right here, somebody texted in the other day, Kevin, and you ever get texts on the fan text that sometimes sit with you a little longer than they should?
Sure.
That one stuck with me, where they were like, Pete DeBoer was adamant that what they did last year trying to go to Edmonton or to beat Edmonton and get the one seed wore them out going into the playoffs, and he's not going to do it this year. I don't know if that's a strategy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you sell that to your owner and your GM. I don't know how you sell that to them and go, look, we're going to tank the last six games, but we're going to be well rested. And I don't know that I've looked at the minutes and gone, oh, I see that the minutes have changed and these guys are getting rest. Other than the way that they've kind of adjusted the goaltenders.
I think they've definitely been scaled down somewhat. Now, the one positive, and we talked about this the other day, yesterday, is that the Stars are expecting Miro to play at some point in the first round series, which is what you need. Now, part of that will depend on how long that series goes and what the ebb and flow of the series is. But, man, you need Miro back.
Pick another team in DFW. That if you took him off of the team, this is the kind of dramatic change you'd see. Like, where would you compare him to?
He kind of feels like, to me, the Micah.
Okay.
Like,
right.
I really think that.
Okay, that's good. Well, Seager too, a different, like, I know these are different sports by all means, but is Seager, or is it more Semien,
Probably just because Wyatt, the way Evan things Carter. Have gone. Maybe Seager, opposed to anything else, but he is clearly
Nate Evaldi.
One of your best. That's an interesting comparison. Actually, that's not bad. It's just that Miro will play more than anybody.
Yes.
Whereas no, just there. By the nature of a starting pitcher, you're only going to go out there once every 5 days.
He's giving you innings.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Plus, the importance of not dropping valuable things. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through The Fan. We are going to talk Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones in just a minute. In the meantime, it feels like the secretive meeting between Nico and Rick Welts and the media has concluded. I guess it wasn't really that secret since we all knew about it, except for cameras and other recording devices were not allowed. And sounds like the message of the day was defense wins championships. But we will get back around to that in a little bit. In the meantime, our path to the draft continues with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. I hope you're doing good as well. I know yesterday was the start of voluntary workouts and fans were excited. And a lot of people focused in on Micah Parsons being there. I know you have a lot of other players on the team as well. But how much, if at all, do you factor in leadership when you're, like, negotiating a player's contract or something along those lines?
Well, anytime you're going to commit resources like we're talking about with Micah or Dak or a CD, you know, everything factors in. It's football character. It's personal character. It's obviously skills and what they bring to the table, their, you know, what position do they play on the field. Obviously, you know, the three guys I just talked about are all really important positions in the NFL in terms of edge rusher, number one receiver, and quarterback. But, you know, the full body of work goes in there, the health picture, everything. So, yeah, the leadership is certainly a big part of it.
One of the things that Dak Prescott said was in contract negotiations, you just got to stay positive. Make sure that the team knows what you want and what you believe. Do you feel at this point you understand what Micah Parsons wants and what he believes for this team going forward?
Yeah, I think we, you know, you always have a feel for it. And certainly, you know, whether it's a Dak, a CD, or a Micah, I mean, there's no question he wants, you know, paid in a way that's, you know, commensurate with what he feels like he brings. And certainly, you know, we're trying to, a little bit works, you know, where the rub comes is we're trying to not only keep guys like Dak and CD and Micah, but we're also trying to put, you know, a team around them that can be and can compete and, you know, win championships. And so obviously we're trying to get them to, you know, come a little our way and take into an account some of the things that are positive about playing for the Cowboys, playing, you know, in Texas and those type of things. And obviously they're trying to maximize, you know, their value on their contract. So it's, you know, it's all well-meaning. It's just, you know, a lot of times a journey to get there.
When you say one of the benefits of playing in Texas, would that include the lack of a state income tax?
Sure. I mean, everybody knows that's the case here. The cost of living compared to, you know, some of these bigger cities in the NFL certainly comes into an account. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're looking for some credit for that. Just to, and the main reason for it is we're going to, you know, we're going to spend to the cap year in and year out. And, you know, over the course of time, you know, we're going to spend our money to try to get as many good players as we can. So, you know, that's the art of the deal.
Hey, Stephen, I know a lot of the conversation this offseason and one of the pitches from your head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, was culture. And I've always been curious who in his mind and who in your mind has the biggest impact on a culture in this locker room? Is it just the guys that are paid the most? Who has the big impact on the culture?
Well, obviously, it's always going to, you know, probably people are going to point to the quarterback position, the leader of the team. And, you know, I think we got one of the best in the business, especially You know, when it comes to culture, I think Dak you know, certainly epitomizes, you know, what it's like to be a leader and, you know, set great examples, set the, you know, try to do everything he can to set the culture, but certainly it can't be done alone. You got to have leaders on both sides of the ball and on your special teams phase. And, you know, ultimately you build it, you know, through the type of players you bring into your organization. And so I think those, you know, obviously that's important, certainly. And then the leadership within the organization, whether that's your head coach and your coaching staff, whether that's your ownership, all that goes into creating a culture.
Now, the other part, too, though, is next week, big draft. I know there's a lot. We're getting really amped up about that right now. Have you ever in your history seen a rookie come in and completely change a locker room and completely change a culture?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is done. I mean, usually it takes time. But, you know, just, you know, as of late, I thought, you know, Zeke was one of those guys who stepped right in and, you know, created a, you know, you know, in the running game, a physicality, which, you know, those teams that, you know, win a lot of football games can run the football. And, you know, he stepped right in from day one and, you know, really brought a physical toughness to our team. But it certainly can be done. It can be done through the offensive line. It can be done, you know, obviously, you know, we haven't done it in a while because we've had Dak here for so long. You know, but Dak was one of those guys that stepped right in and I think really set a tone when Tony got hurt and really filled in. And now, you know, to do that, you've got to be a great football player and play right away if you're going to, you know, if you're going to be able to step up. You know, it's always been said, you know, really be a leader and, you know, be somebody who people follow and you set a culture. You've got to be not only great off the field, but you've got to be a great player on the field, too.
One of the things I really enjoy talking with you about is the mechanisms of the salary cap. I feel like you usually give us really great insight. Can you walk our fans through maybe the idea of flipping some of the switches on contracts like Dak and other players if the money is maybe not going to be immediately used in terms of free agency?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of our big contracts, you know, we have mechanisms within the contract, you know, that it's not even negotiated. We just have the right to convert, you know, salary to signing bonus, which in turn spreads out, you know, that salary over the life of the contract. And certainly that creates room. You know, to give you an example, if you've got a $10 million salary and the player's under contract for 5 years and you give him a bonus, 10 of the 12, let's say, then, you know, that 10 goes to counting two, and the rest of the eight is spread over the remaining 4 years. So all those mechanisms are especially in the, you know, the big contracts. If you were to look at our salary cap today, you know, there's, you know, about seven or eight guys who have, you know, salaries that, you know, are big enough that you can do something with. Not to that degree necessarily. Those are usually the bigger ones like Dak and, you know, CD and a player like Diggs and guys like that. But, you know, there's really only about normally, you know, seven or eight of those guys that you can do that with. The rookies are usually, you know, playing under their rookie deal and they have much smaller deals. And then you know, have a lot of players like we did this year in free agency where we signed one-year deals with them that are, you know, kind of they're set. And but, you know, in general, those mechanisms are in place, you know, so we can do those type of things. Obviously, we've done it with Dak on a regular basis, and, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, does create, an unusual cap situation because we're still paying for part of his old contract because we spread it out over time, and we still have some of the remaining amortization left from his old contract in addition to what we're paying him currently.
And I hope you think this is a fair question. I guess one of my questions specifically for Dak is, why would you continue to do that when you said the money was still kind of left over from the last deal and the quarterback is getting older and coming off of another injury? Like, is there any concern that's a pretty delicate balancing act right there?
It's a fair question, but obviously we have a lot of confidence that, you know, Dak's injury was, you know, one of those that was just unfortunate. We feel like Dak's healthy. You know, I think it's well documented. He's talked about it and what he's done with his body and, you know, how he's getting his body ready to play for this year. But, you know, we feel like Dak's going to be a healthy player for us for the life of his contract, which actually the actual contract, you know, is starting this year. And we feel like it's, you know, he's going to be a healthy, productive quarterback in this league for us that will play, you know, at the very top of his game and give us a chance to win championships.
Steven, when you have a receiver like CeeDee Lamb, who's so capable of lining up inside, outside, and so versatile as a receiver, when you want somebody opposite him, how much does size matter in that conversation where you have a guy like Tet, who's a very tall receiver, and then you got a guy like Matthew Golden, who's shorter but runs fantastic routes and all of that?
Yeah, I think they come in all, you know, pardon the phrase here, but all shapes and sizes. I mean, some of them are smaller and really fast and can be very productive. And then you got some that their productivity comes from their length and contested catches and great hands and, you know, great ways to use their body. I mean, they do come in all forms in terms of, you know, how they can be productive. And certainly there's guys in the draft that, you know, fit both molds. And but if they do one of them, you know, at an elite level, then certainly they have a chance to make a huge difference.
Is this specific NFL draft looking different at all in terms of value? It seems to be, there seems to be some thought out there that like players 10 through 40 are kind of interchangeable, or players 40 through 80 might be kind of interchangeable. Have you found that to be?
I mean, I think there is some depth in this draft. And I think, you know, if you were going to say maybe it's not real top heavy in terms of, you know, the top of the draft being inordinately strong. I think there's some really good football players, don't get me wrong, but I do think this draft, you know, you can get really good football players, you know, through the first half or, you know, even into the second half of the draft. So, you know, we feel real good about where we're sitting and think we can get a really good football player or you know, given the opportunity to, I don't see us moving up, but
All right. Well, I think
this podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You still got you, Steve?
Hello?
Yes, we got you. Yeah. You said you don't necessarily see yourselves moving up, and then we lost you there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see us moving up based on the way the board's coming together, but, you know, could see a situation where we'd move down, but we're also, you know, you always look at that pick. We've had some, you know, good things happen to us, you know, just outside of the top 10 with guys like Andre Ware and Micah Parsons and Zach Martin, Hall of Fame type players that are, you know, that fall to you and you just pick them. And that very well could be the case in this draft.
I've always been kind of curious, you know, we get to watch the war room, Steven, and we get to see you on the phones going back and forth and all those things. In the conversations of trading draft picks, is the value, especially right now, outlandish when it comes to these things? These draft picks are more valuable now than ever before.
Yeah, you know, I think it's consistently, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, going through the roof in terms of the value of picks. I think, you know, picks are valuable. I do think, you know, if anything, I would say, you know, you can get some value in veteran-type players that teams have decided they need to move on for cap reasons. You know, there's some value out there. Of course, we've made, you know, some trades here in the off season that we felt really brought you know, some players that can really be of value to us next year. Feel like we've, you know, done a really good job of really solidifying our team in terms of depth, in terms of being able to draft here in the draft. I think we got a lot done this off season, and like I said, it's not over yet. We'll continue to look at opportunities to help this football team.
I was I saw Ashton Genty was on with my friend Kay Adams, and he said Jerry was holding up a championship belt and admiring it when he walked in. Is that an inspirational move on Jerry's part, like larger than life at all times? Is that on him?
Oh, he likes to have fun with these young men, and I know he does that. He's got that trophy that's in there that was a gift to him from one of the events we had out at the stadium. You know, another one I really like that he does is lately he's gotten to where they get their mother on the phone. And, you know, as we all love and, you know, one of the most important things in most men's life is their mother. And certainly these guys are no different. And, you know, they really enjoy, they smile ear to ear when they get their mother on the phone with Jerry. And a lot of times I'm sitting in there, a lot of times Jerry and I will interview a player together. And it's been real fun watching these guys react to their mother and how they interact with Jerry and myself. And that's been entertaining. And you can see a lot about a young man in terms of, you know, what they think of their mother. And you can tell these guys are certainly defer to their mother.
Do you think maybe there should be consideration not for Hard Knocks, but for Jerry Interviews Players' Moms as the next NFL show? Because I would watch that.
It's actually, I know one thing, it's been very entertaining for me. So it might just be something that would be for these guys to catch on camera. And, you know, I think it's very, you know, it's very genuine. It's very organic, and you can tell the players really like it and enjoy it. I mean, they're smiling ear to ear, and certainly usually the mother's just having a ball with it as well. And you tell the mothers rule the roost with these young men.
For sure.
Well, we appreciate the time very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you after night one of the draft next week. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Great being on. Have a good week.
Yes, sir.
There goes Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to clarify one thing because I also heard it. Pretty sure he meant DeMarcus Ware. He said Andre Ware.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The former quarterback out of Houston. And I know that caught some people's attention.
Yeah.
But I make the assumption that that was DeMarcus Ware right there.
Well, I mean, I do think that is. Listen, man, he's right. And I think we all kind of, everybody has a feeling towards their mom, right? A feeling of certain things.
I mean, probably.
And whenever these players get in there, Bobby Bowden told us that same thing. Bowden. He told us a long time ago, I try to get closer to their mom because I want them to know that whenever they come onto my team, that they are in a family type environment and that I'm going to take care of them and protect them and help them, all those things. And that's going to help them with whenever they get that moment where they're homesick and want to call home and mom's like, you get out there and you work hard.
One of the things that he did say, Stephen, that I want to make sure I say this right. I appreciate, I just don't agree with. Like, I appreciate when, you know, whether it's somebody in my life or my sports team or whatever, lays out what their plan is. Even if I don't agree with it, at least I know, like, you're operating off of a plan. And I feel like Stephen did give us some really good insight right there. I fundamentally, to my core, disagree with what they're doing on the rollover of Dak's contract, especially since all of the first contract isn't paid off. But at least I can appreciate that Stephen was like, we think last year was a freak injury. We think he's going to be healthy throughout the rest of this contract, and we'll see how much that ends up paying off. I don't agree with that, but at least I understand why the flip of the switch. That they're like, because we think he's going to be healthy, because they think last year was a freak injury, and on and on and on. At least I understand that now, even if I don't like the answer.
I do wonder if a rookie could come in. I know he said Zeke. And
you know the other one I thought about is Micah.
Micah definitely did. I don't know how he made the team feel like they could do something when he walked in. You were like, we've never seen a guy like this on our team except for DeMarcus Ware. We finally got one again. You know, we got what we consider the war daddy idea.
Yes.
And so, like, that was nice to see. And I do wonder, that's the next phase of this. Obviously, you know, whenever we talk to him next Friday after the first night, hey, do you feel like this guy can change the culture? Is he that type of personality? Are you looking for more of those guys in the draft as we get into that part of the draft? So, I listen, man, this team has a lot of work to do still. He said it. They did some things. I liked some of the moves, disliked some of the other ones. Sure. And I still think that this draft has a place to change a lot of people's minds or get them ready and back into it a little bit.
Now,
I don't know.
I don't know if you want to. Do you want to wait and go back to the Nico thing in just a few minutes? Because the quotes from the non-recordable meeting are now coming out. And look, I'm gonna warn you. We'll get into it in a few minutes. Don't think it's going to make anybody feel any better. If you're waiting for Nico to be like, you know, like, let's say your ex cheated on you or something and she came back and she felt really bad. If that's what you're hoping these quotes are, they are not. I'm just going to warn you. There's like, hey, we all make bad decisions. No, that's not what these quotes are going to be. We'll get into that in a minute. But what is the most important thing you have ever dropped? So when my son Brandon was born.
Oh my gosh, really? I'm sorry, I didn't even let you finish the story before I just assumed you dropped your son.
No, I did not.
Okay.
When my son Brandon was born and they handed him to me for the first time, I made sure to sit down in a seat because in my mind,
the landing zone is a lot
if
easier.
If I dropped him, yeah, it's a significantly shorter fall because Alec, that is 100% what I was afraid was going to happen. I was not too dissimilar in age from that you are right now when Brandon was born, and I was terrified of that. Now, and this is not political, so if you want to make it political, take it somewhere else. J.D. Vance dropped the Ohio State College Football Trophy at the White House ceremony. The vice president, it looked bad. I also had questions about the way this trophy was constructed. It seemed to come apart very easily. So my question was, what's the most important thing you've ever dropped? Was it a child? Was it a championship trophy?
I bet that trophy was made in somewhere else, not in America, where they make good trophies that stay together. That's what I'm betting. That being said, Kevin, there was this time I just moved out and my mom had given me some things because, you know, this parents split up and then, you know, yes. Like, hey, here's a bunch of crap from the house that you need to have now. And so my mom was giving me a bunch of stuff and there was this teddy bear and it was like a Christmas teddy bear. And it was something that we had up in our house every single year. And so it was always one of those that I loved and it was like somebody had given it to my mom and then she gave it to me kind of thing. And I was trying to put something on the mantle and accidentally bumped it and it fell. And I tried to kick it back up in the air and catch it. Uh-huh. And when I did that, it didn't kick far enough. So I had to kick it. I kicked it twice, but I'm not good with my left foot. So whenever I went to kick it with my left foot, I kicked it directly into the fireplace and it shattered and went everywhere. And I felt like that was very important because it was something. And I still haven't told my mom. Mom, if you're listening, that bear's dead. She's dead.
Oh, no.
The bear. Unless it was a boy, I don't know.
I did think this was a good follow-up.
Who knows?
From J.D. Vance, because he's from, I believe, Ohio, right?
Ohio.
He said, I didn't want anyone after Ohio State to get the trophy, so I decided to break it. I think that is an objectively funny line, but
there can be no objections, Kevin.
The way the stand and the trophy separated from one another.
I didn't
even
know that was a thing.
Like they were launching it into space or something. I was surprised. It looked exactly like that. Every video you ever see, they're like, that's what it looked like when the trophy came apart. And so I have questions about the construction of it. And so I know this wasn't a thing I dropped, but I want to ask a question. Let's say somebody is running towards you and they're like, hey, will you throw me my cell phone? You throw the cell phone thinking that they're going to stop now that they've asked
where
you
where they
this,
were.
Right?
Yeah, right. You're throwing it to where they were.
Because I didn't drop it, but one time I was partially, at least, if not mostly responsible for one of my friend's cell phones exploding because he was running and he goes, hey, throw me my phone. And I did, assuming he would stop, but he kept running like he was trying to qualify for the Olympics. And the phone flew over his head and shattered into a bajillion pieces.
I'm going to say that's on him. That's definitely on him. How would that be on you? Thank Unless you like really intentionally threw it over his head on purpose. Like, I'll show
no,
you.
No, I did not. I threw it with the hopes
lazy.
Of...
Lazy. You just come over here and get your phone.
But also, I take some of the responsibility because he's not particularly athletically inclined. So why I thought he would have caught it, I can reflect on that and realize my mistake. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, did you think Nico was going to make you feel better with what he said today?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he won't. We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.